This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, one of the oldest and most beautiful courses in Wisconsin. The course was recently restored and recreated for a unique golf experience for both members and non-members alike. Lac La Belle is located in Oconomowoc, a convenient distance between Milwaukee and Madison. The semi-private golf club's grand opening will be on June 20th. Find out more on its website at clubatlaclabelle.com. Rob Hernandez alongside Gary D'Amato, and we welcome you to Talking.Golf. Gary, without question, the dog days of the pandemic, we've opened up just about everything we can open up as far as golf is concerned in the state of Wisconsin, and now we kind of wait for what's next, don't we?
Yes, Rob, I think, you know, the final piece of the puzzle is tournament golf, which was supposed to start today with the Wisconsin PGA Sections Match Play Championship Stroke Play Qualifier up at North Shore Country Club in Mequon, but that was rained out. As you probably have seen, Rob, sitting and you're basking in the warmth of California, we've been pummeled by rain the last couple of days, and some areas of the Milwaukee area got, you know, 4 to 5 inches of rain. So everything's underwater right now. But yeah, but the last piece, I guess, is tournament golf, Rob.
I saw a few pictures on Facebook as I was perusing yesterday, where you know, some of the lakes had adjacent to fairways had turned into streams across fairways. There were connector canals created in some parts, especially like you said, Gary, in the Milwaukee area, especially got hit hard and got hit fast with rain. And just at some point, there's just no place for it to go, even though we haven't had a ton of rain here in the last few weeks. It's been I think a very good rhythm to the start of this to the restart of the golf season. And it's, I don't know, it's maybe a chance for the golf courses and golfers themselves to sort of have a temporary reset here, because a lot happened since we talked last Monday. We did get the golf driving ranges open, but it was kind of through the politics of Wisconsin and not necessarily through, somebody giving them the thumbs up to open. Again, hard to separate politics and golf in this current environment, isn't it?
Oh, it's impossible. It's become the whole pandemic, unfortunately, has become a political football, and we don't want to get into too many politics here on our podcast. But I am glad that that ranges are open now. Some of these guys who have standalone ranges, and that's their primary, if not solitary, source of income, and were buttoned shut and had no income coming in and were paying bills, at least they get open now. And even if they don't have crowds flocking the ranges, at least they've got some revenue stream coming in.
And again, I've been very watching very closely on various social media platforms, but especially on Facebook, because virtually every course in the state has a Facebook page. They're doing a great job of educating the public on what they're doing. One driving range took, tee markers, the red tee markers, and put them 6 feet apart and said there can be one person in between each of these red tee markers. I mean, you can't be any more clear than that. And I think, again, for the most part, Wisconsin golf courses the driving ranges, they're doing a good job of being smart about this. We all know, Gary, what the optics look like when people aren't being smart. We saw that hours after the Supreme Court ruling struck down safer at home and allowed bars to open in some parts of the state. They were elbow to elbow, and that's not a good optic. But I just haven't seen bad optics on the golf course yet, and I think the Wisconsin golf community deserves a pat on the back for that.
Yeah, I think golfers have been very well educated, and I think they're people want to play golf so badly, have wanted to, before courses open, that I think they were going to be, for the most part, very cognizant of the new guidelines and the new rules for playing golf. And Rob, I'm hopeful that, eventually a vaccine is going to be found for this. We hope, and it's an effective one. And there are going to be millions of people standing in line to get that vaccine. And after that, hopefully we can get back to sort of the way we played golf and looked at golf before. But until then, I think social distancing and no handshakes and no high fives, as demonstrated by Ricky Fowler and gang yesterday, I think that's going to be the rule.
Yeah. And I think, we've got a loyal following here on the podcast, and we would encourage anyone listening to reach out to us. Our email is on most of our stories, and at the bottom of the stories on our profile. You know, feel free to reach out to us, things you're seeing, if there's anything that you're concerned about, if there's any, you know, courses that you want to give a pat on the back, because they are being smart and they are putting their foot down and making sure that, you know, nobody is abusing the the privilege to play golf. You know, by all means, do that. Again, I go back to, you know, whereas we saw right away, you know, bars packed. I've seen golf courses that have posted pictures of their tables. You know, I saw one golf course. I think the maximum you can have at a table is six, and you know, you've got to be somewhat spaced. But you know, for sure, the tables, and that's what I think, Gary, the theory is that if you come in with a family, you know, you're already, you know, in that group setting that we've talked about, where, you know, if you're family members, you can ride two to a cart, and you can do certain things that you can't do if you're not family members. And, you know, the tables were spaced apart. Saw one bar that was set to open where the bar stools were spaced apart. That one, Gary, is a hard one to look at. I think you and I have been enough, you know, golf course clubhouses where, you know, you can't put another, you know, chair at a bar under normal circumstances, and now you have to.
Yeah. So far, you know, I've played four rounds of golf in Wisconsin, two of them alone and two of them in threesomes, and social distancing and following the guidelines was not a problem. But I think, Rob, it's going to be interesting. On Friday, I'm tentatively going up to play Lasonia, the links course, with a group of 14 or 15 guys. So I think we're going to be put to the test, you know, as far as staying apart, avoiding sort of the hijinks you have when you get a bunch of guys together playing golf. I think we're going to be put to the test a little bit, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm anxious to see how we respond to playing golf in a big group.
Yeah, that will be interesting, and you know, we're seeing, you know, some courses open slowly and you know, not going out and inviting, you know, the group golfing. But at some point, Gary, it has to happen. We have to see if it works. If it doesn't work, what can we do to make it work? I think those are all the things that have made this transition to the new norm so effective in the state of Wisconsin, is that nobody said no. They've tried to make it work. If it doesn't work, they say it can't work. We have to try something else. And so you will be a good guinea pig on that one for sure.
Both
of us have gone out golfing in the last week. I think the last time we talked, neither one of us had gone out for a while. Out here, the honeymoon period still has not worn off in Riverside County, where we are. And my home course, I've, again, never seen the parking lot more full, and never seen the tee sheet, you know, so sparse in terms of number of available tee times. I had to do a 4:20 tee time to be able to walk out, play my nine holes walking, and wound up getting, I was joined by a guy who, a college golfer from the Irvine area. They're still coming over here from other parts, and we talked on our call this morning with our colleagues at Killarney Golf Media. I mean, we're still seeing Illinois golfers come over the border because I think the restrictions are a little bit less in Wisconsin than they are in Illinois. But the bigger question that you and I have for each other is, when will the honeymoon period end? And or have we seen signs that it is ending a little bit? And there are certain times of the week when it might be, you know, relatively easy to get out on a golf course.
Yeah, those are good questions, Rob. You know, golf definitely has gotten a bump in interest simply because it was one of the few things that people could do the last few weeks and do safely and do outdoors. It's going to be interesting, Rob, as more and more things, as we get back to bowling leagues and horseshoe at bars and volleyball and that sort of thing, if golf is going to be able to maintain the sort of momentum it's had the last few weeks. And also, you know, you throw into the throw in the factor that, you know, people have been out of work, and a lot of people don't have the sort of disposable income they had a few months ago. And, you know, people are getting back to work and might not have the time to play golf as much as they did. So all those things are going to factor into whether golf can sort of maintain the momentum it's picked up these last few weeks.
Well, you mentioned tournament golf was supposed to start today with the start of the WPGA Match Play Championship up at North Shore. The WPGA still has some events on its calendar in May. For the most part, the WSGA had called off their tournaments through the month of May, but then we start up right away in early June with the with qualifying for the state match play championship. You've got the state mother child, which is June 7th at Mascouten. Senior women's amateur the week after that. You know, we were to have had high school golf. That's off. But I think the good news, Gary, at this point, if we can, you know, throw a sunshine on some good news, is that none of the tournaments after May 31st, at least on the amateur level, have been called off. I mean, the U.S. Junior Girls, U.S. Junior Boys was canceled by the USGA about a month ago now. But aside from that, we haven't lost many events since the initial weeks of this pandemic. And I know, talking to Andy Landenberger, the Wisconsin PGA, their director of junior golf, they're set to process the credit cards that were in a hold until now for their initial events on the Wisconsin PGA junior circuit. And then we got an email last week that the Tournament of Champions at Riverside Country Club in Sheboygan is set to go on June 1st. So it looks like June 1st seems to be, for most everyone beyond the WPGA, that point where we might see a return to tournament golf there. That's a good sign.
It is a good sign, Rob. But I'm anxious to see, where I've played golf, and I think on the vast majority of golf courses in the state have addressed taking the ball out of the cup in different ways, raising the cup out of the ground. Obviously, you can't do that in a tournament. But just the fact of having those foam noodles or collars in the cup, will that be allowed to happen in tournaments, Rob? Because, if you don't put that foam down far enough in the cup, the ball can, I think, lip out a lot easier than it otherwise would. And is that going to affect, is that going to affect tournament golf? Are they going to have noodles in the bottom of cups? Or is the flagstick going to be tended and removed, as it was yesterday during the competition we saw on television? Or is the flagstick going to be left in? So what are your thoughts on that?
That's a great question, especially because when I went out and played last week, the foam noodles they had in the bottom of the cup were set so a lot of the golf ball was still above the surface. It was able to crawl into into the cup if the ball was the putt was hit at the right pace. But if you had too much juice, it was just going to skip over the top. That is an issue. I think that will be something that tournament organizers like the Wisconsin PGA, the WSGA will have to look at. I think if you can, get it at least off the bottom of the cup, I'm okay with it. But I think the ball has got to be, just below the surface. And I think it can be done that way, where you can at least pick it up still with your fingertips, but the entirety of the ball can be below the cup line. And but we'll see. And again, it'll only take one instance, Gary, where there's something riding on the outcome of a tournament where a putt is impacted by something in the cup, whether it's the PVC pipe or whether it's the swimming noodle. Do courses have the resources to get the little latch that I'm seeing now at a number of courses in Wisconsin, where you can, it basically, with the end of the putter, you lift this latch and it lifts the bottom of the cup up until the ball comes out of the bottom of the cup? I mean, that's a pretty big expense in these times to expect for, 18, 36, 54 hole facilities to put in every single bottom of the cup.
It is. And again, the flagstick's another issue. Are guys going to leave the flagstick in? Or, for instance, in the WPGA match play qualifying, if that comes off tomorrow, are guys going to be pulling the flagstick and putting to a hole without the flagstick in it? I'll be anxious to see how that's handled, too.
Well, and as a high school coach, I was, when in that first year of the new rule with the USGA, the RNA, allowing the flagstick to be left in, I was big on pulling it on putts inside of 6 feet, because it just optically having that stick in the corner of your peripheral vision when you're in competition is a factor. And again, there's, I think, tee to green, we've got no problem playing tournament golf. I think on the green, it's going to be interesting to see. That also, I should mention too, I didn't watch the competition yesterday, but obviously when you have caddies and other people around, the raking of the bunkers or the smoothing of the bunkers isn't an issue. But I would suspect, as long as we don't have rakes and bunkers, that will be another thing. We may have to live with a few footprints here and there during competition as well.
That's a really good point. I think some of the upscale courses, have four caddies now who are going to be handling that those sort of chores. But what about the regular daily fee courses, of which there are hundreds around Wisconsin? How are they going to address bunkers? I think that's very interesting, and especially when we come to scores that really count, scores in tournaments. Guy gets in a bunker and he's in a giant footprint. What do we do? There may be some local rules passed about that. Who knows?
Well, as we mentioned, tournament golf will start up soon. WSJ schedule, as we mentioned, the first official event, the Mother Son, on June 7th at Mascouten. I was just looking, Gary, the first WPGA Junior event is June 12th at Janesville Riverside. That field is already full. I can guarantee you that it's going to be a brisk summer of tournament golf activity with no high school season in the spring, the fall season currently in limbo. We'll talk about that in a second. I think these providers that can do it somewhat informally during the summer months will be very popular providers this summer, and the WPGA Junior, one of them. And we hope that Gary gets to cover the start of the WPGA match play. You're listening to Talking Dot Golf. We're sponsored by the club at Lac La Belle, one of the oldest and most beautiful courses in Wisconsin. The semi-private golf club's grand opening will be June 20th in Oconomowoc. Right now, you can play a nine-hole loop at the club at Lac La Belle. If you want to find out more, just go to their website, clubatlaclabelle.com. Gary, a few things to get to from last week. Let's start first with a story I wrote. It wasn't a huge story, and I wrote it, basically to talk a little bit about Christopher Cole of Fond du Lac coming back for an extra year of eligibility at Chico State. But then that story got tweaked a little bit last week when the Cal State system out here in California announced that instruction would remain virtual through the fall semester. And that was kind of a reverberation throughout the world of college athletics, because you're talking about Chico State being a Division II school in the CCAA, a Division II conference, and they're fine with, they don't have football for the most part at those schools, so they're fine not having or announcing, a moratorium on competition through that fall semester. Chris told me that they would not be playing golf at this point until January, at which point they try to put eight tournaments in between then and the end of the school year, which is a bit of a curveball for a guy who doesn't know, whether he should come back to campus and pay rent on an apartment and learn virtually that way in hopes that they will still be able to practice or not. But that Cal State system, Gary, as you know, also includes San Diego State, Fresno State, and San Jose State, three members of the Mountain West Conference that have football. And at least the San Diego State athletic director said come July 7th, he wants those fall sport athletes back on campus so they can begin working out. There's a new stadium in the works at San Diego State. They cannot afford not to have football. I think that's the message we've gotten throughout this, is that as it relates to college golf and college athletics, Division One may be a little more sense of urgency than Divisions Two and Three to get back to business.
Yeah, and there's so much that goes, when you talk about college athletics potentially starting back up in fall, there's so much that goes into it. I mean, football obviously is run a lot different than say cross country, where there's only a few guys on a team and they're socially distanced by the very nature of what they do, running. So it's going to be interesting to see, Rob. I've got some friends in the UWM athletic department, and was talking to the one of the athletic trainers the other day, and he said, on a typical day, we have 150 to 200 student athletes coming through our training facility, whether it's pre-practice, post-practice, rehab. And he said, how are we going to do that if and when we start back up? How are we going to put 150 kids safely through a training room environment? So, I mean, there's just so many things to think about when it comes to college athletics in the fall.
So we'll continue to monitor that. We were kind of disheartened. The University of Akron dropped golf last week, cut the sport. And then I saw Bowling Green drop baseball for someone that was around the UW campus when the Badgers did that back in the early 90s. That one kind of, again, is not a signal that you like to see. And so we'll see what shoe is next to fall. And we hope that at least as it relates to, kids around here that are playing college golf, that they'll get that opportunity come late August, early September. I know a lot of schools have started releasing their fall schedules already, and they're hoping to get back to business. We had a story early in the week last week about the girls golf tournament schedule for the WIA being released, the tournament assignments, a new girls team up at Green Bay Northeast Wisconsin Lutheran High School being organized by one of the girls who is a rather active competitive golfer, and she's been out recruiting girls for the girls team after having done that the same. Faith Flynn had to do that to get a boys team together after her freshman year when four seniors graduated. So we've got the hope that high school girls golf will be played. But then, Gary, the WI Board of Control met last week, didn't address the issue of fall sports quite yet. And it really is a huge elephant in the room because we don't know. Again, this is where golf and politics have to mix, is that golf, as it relates to high school golf, is at the mercy of schools being open for the most part. And right now, we don't know what that's going to look like, do we?
No, we don't. And it's probably wise to wait, although it causes consternation, it's probably wise to wait as long as possible. You'd hate to cancel something, cancel the season, cancel sports, cancel a fall semester of school, and then find out in, you know, late July that maybe it's safe to go ahead and do all those things. So I think almost by the very nature of what's going on with this pandemic, we have to wait as long as possible before making the kind of decisions that just uproot everyone's lives.
And then, you know, to go back to the Cal State thing, we've got one son that's leaving, you know, graduating from a Cal State school, and another one that's going to enter this fall. And, you know, we also know that there's, you know, from an academic curriculum standpoint, you know, we saw why the Cal State system made its announcement last week, Gary, because, you know, some of these teachers, if they're really going to teach virtually again this fall, they need all the time they can get to do it effectively. And that's kind of the, I think, the other elephant in the room is that I'm not sure that the, you know, the basically a lot of the, both at the high school level in Wisconsin and elsewhere, and the college level, the whole idea of converting from in-class instruction to virtual instruction over essentially a 2 or 3 week spring break this spring wasn't maybe a kind of a system that was going to work in the long term. It was great to get to have to address what was going on at the time, but if we're looking to, you know, give these kids the best opportunity to learn, I don't think that can be replicated. So again, it'll be interesting to see how long the WIA waits. Already, Gary, the WIA has announced that the boys state golf tournament for 2021 will be played for the first time in all the years that I've covered it, Gary. It'll be played on a Friday and a Saturday next year at University Ridge at the back end, essentially a week after the AmFam Championship, instead of waiting until that following Monday and then adding a week so they could have the Sunday practice round and Monday, Tuesday start. They wanted to keep the season on the same start to finish schedule as they were to have here in 2020 before it was canceled. So that one was kind of an eye-opener. One other quick note, we should also give a shout out to the Wisconsin PGA and Black Wolf Run. We mentioned the WPGA Junior schedule will start June 12th, but they've added a schedule. A salute to seniors will be held this summer at the Meadow Valleys course at Black Wolf Run on July 30th. For any boy or girl who would have been on a WIA-sponsored boys golf team this spring, and what they want to do is you know, kind of salute the seniors who had their season lost here this spring. And they will do that on July 30th. Andy Landenberger told me, Gary, that the field is capped at 96 golfers on a double tee start. But if they get more than 96, they'll consider maybe adding a date later in the summer to further showcase more seniors. So, again, a lot of effort being made to try to give these kids an opportunity to compete.
Yeah, that was a great gesture. I think it's a really good thing. I wonder about the turnout. Hopefully it's going to be great. I'm assuming a lot of these seniors who normally would have played against each other and with each other in spring tournaments are going to want to see each other, you know, one last time in that sort of high school sort of setting, even though obviously it's in the middle of summer. But on the other hand, you know, people are, these young men are into their tournament season, both from a state perspective, even nationally. And I'm hoping the turnout is great. Do you have a feel yet, Rob, for what kind of turnout that they're expecting up there for that?
Well, it's a pretty good week. I know for some of the top junior golfers and, you know, especially a guy like Pearson Hunt, you know, they had to move the date of the Wisconsin-Minnesota Junior Cup matches. And now he will not be able to compete in that because he's going to play in, and he told me he was going to play in an aggressive national amateur schedule before his freshman year at Illinois this fall. So, we're going to see him playing perhaps in a lot of the events that, you know, guys before him like Jordan Niebrugge, Charlie Danielson, go back to Steve Stricker and that group, Mark Wilson, you know, the Sonny Hanna, the Porter Cup, some of those events that, you know, that have really formed careers of many prominent golfers today. So he won't be there, but it's the same week as the Wisconsin State Amateur. So, but it's on a Thursday. So if you don't make the cut at the State Am, you might enter if you're in the State Am and not sure whether you'll be there come Thursday, you might enter both. And the WPGA has been very good about, offering refunds or deferring the payment to a different tournament. So that's good. And then I think the Wisconsin PGA girls match play is also that week. And again, there are only a handful of girls who play on boys teams in the spring. So a minimum number that would be impacted, if any. So I think they found a good date. I think based on what we saw here with that first event at Janesville Riverside, we're going to see a lot of junior golf activity this summer. Kids are itching to play, and especially for the sophomores and juniors that need to impress college coaches. This diminishing window of opportunities here in 2020 are going to make each of them that are available, tournaments that are well subscribed. So we look forward to that. Gary, you mentioned Lasonia earlier. I'm surprised you're going on the weekend. You know, you could go for Tuesdays for a buck, my friend.
Right. I know. Whoever brainstormed this and thought up this for our group of, usually we have a group, big group of guys that goes up to Century World in Stevens Point over Memorial Day weekend. And so obviously our plans changed on that this year. So we decided to get together at Lasonia. Why a Friday and not a Tuesday when we could play for a buck or $5? I don't know. I'm going to have to get on whoever organized that. But we're still going to have a good time.
You sure are. And if people that don't know what we're talking about, Dennis McCann had the great story. We got, I think all of us subscribed to the Lasonia email, Gary, and we saw that and we almost did a double take. You can name your price on Tuesdays up at Lasonia. And again, we're not sure what this is saying. If they were, seeing, a little bit lax business on Tuesdays since the return to golf or not, but, we have heard stories of certain courses around the state that have not been as busy during the week as they are in the weekend. So if you go to our site at wisconsin.golf and look at Tuesdays at Lasonia, it's golf for $1 or maybe $5 if you're feeling generous. But as anybody who's ever played Lasonia knows, $1, $5, $10, heck, $25, that would be a steal and a great marketing gesture on the part of the folks over at the golf courses of Lasonia. We mentioned driving ranges are open. The other big story that came out last week, Gary, you wrote about Aaron Hills converting his fairways from fescue to bent grass. Now, before we get to the nuts and bolts of that story, Gary, I thought there was one element there that I didn't see you address, and I'm wondering if maybe you talked about it off the record with anybody. My favorite golf course drink in the history of golf course drink is the Fescue Rescue. Are we going to have to turn that to the bent grass something?
That's a good point, Rob. I did not address that with anybody. Never okay. Crossed my mind, but yeah, that's a very good point. But it is interesting what they're doing up at Erin Hills. They're going to close the course for 10 days starting July or June 29th, rather. And they're going to really stress that fescue fairways. They're going to cut it down extremely short. And they're going to put some hormone on it that sort of stunts its growth, and then they're going to overseed with bent grass. And the idea, Rob, is that over time, over a period of months to a year, the bent grass is the stronger, sort of becomes the survivor of the fittest among the grasses, and that it overtakes the fescue, and eventually, eventually you have a bent grass fairway instead of a fescue fairway. So it's not been tried. It's been tried. It's been done on smaller plots of land, certainly, but never on a, especially on a course that's played host to multiple USGA championships and a US Open. So this is experimental a little bit in a way, but they've done some tests out there at Erin Hills and they're really confident this is going to be the answer.
And a lot of courses have gone this route, haven't they, Gary? I mean, fescue is good, but when I know both with Whistling Straits and with Erin Hills, when they went to it, they said it was a little bit lower maintenance, especially at Whistling Straits along the lake, but am I correct that neither one has fescue now?
Yeah, you're correct. The same thing happened sort of at Whistling Straits is that they intended it to be fescue at the very beginning, but the bent grass just became sort of the dominant strain. It just sort of almost invasive in a good way and took over the fairways and became the predominant grass in the fairways now. And it's just fescue takes a certain climate, but more than anything, it takes sandy soil to flourish, because we see that at all the seaside links in Ireland and Scotland, it's all sand-based. So Sand Valley is fescue because it's totally sand underneath Sand Valley, but that's not the case at Erin Hills. So they had problems maintaining and keeping healthy fescue fairways out there, and I think they've come upon the answer now to that problem.
Well, that'll be something to keep an eye on. And I got to ask you another question, Gary. Have you ever been tempted, when we lived in Wisconsin, I think we had bluegrass in our yard. You ever been tempted to plant bent grass to see how it grows in a yard?
You know, Rob, it's interesting. Yes, that I've got a pretty big yard, and I've got a chipping green, a sort of an elevated little green that I built. And it's surrounded with fine crushed gravel that acts as sort of a sand, you know, a bunker.
Sure.
And I cut it down with my hand mower really low, but I'd love to see that thing with bent grass someday. But that means I'd have to be out there cutting it every other day. I don't know if I want to do that either.
Well, you've got experience now.
Yeah. Thanks to the oaks. Yeah. I don't have that kind of machinery, though, unfortunately.
No, you wouldn't. But turf grass, I think, fascinates both of us. You know, the fact that Erin Hills is doing this probably has a bigger, the bigger picture is in mind, and we all enjoyed the U.S. Open when it passed through, and they've got the U.S. Mid-Am coming in 2022, U.S. Women's Open coming in 2025, and beyond that, who knows what this will lead to. So kudos to them for being ahead of the curve and seeing what, you know, what this looks like as it grows in down there at Erin Hills. Gary, before we wrap up the podcast, I got to ask, did you watch live TV golf last weekend?
I did. I watched the TaylorMade driving, whatever it was called, a good advertisement for TaylorMade. the guys were a little rusty, I will say that, but it was interesting to see Seminole, which I had never seen, and I'm sure the vast majority of viewers have never seen Seminole Golf Club down there in Florida in Juneau Beach, I think it is. But yeah, it was fun to watch some live golf. It looked a little different with the guys in shorts and carrying their own bags, but hey, it was golf.
It was guys in shorts carrying their own bags. Did you see anything else from that telecast that might strike to be the new norm?
No, it was just interesting seeing, you know, golfers at the highest level, obviously four of the best players in the world, performing in front of no fans and just a smattering of, you know, rules officials and people manning the cameras and stuff like that. So hopefully that's not what golf is going to look like forever. We're going to get back to some form of normal tournaments at some point. But it was just great to see, just to listen to the banter among those guys. And to I liked when Matthew Wolf got on the playoff hole for the big skin at the end, and Ricky Fowler, they were debating whether he should hit 9-iron or wedge, and Ricky said, a lot of wind up there, you know, you gotta hit the 9-iron, and Matthew goes, yeah, that's what I'm thinking, and Ricky goes, you know, we need a shot here. Wolf turns him and says, yeah, thanks for letting me know. And he hit a pretty good shot after that, but yeah, it was fun to listen to that sort of stuff that you don't normally hear.
Well, I did record it, so maybe I'll watch it. I made the mistake of seeing what I missed by going to Twitter today, and the only thing I saw on Twitter was apparently Mike Tirico got a good dig in on the president who called in. And again, Gary, we cannot go. We just can't talk about golf without talking about politics. It's driving me nuts.
Well, actually, you know, I didn't watch the entirety of the telecast, and I actually missed Trump's call-in. So I don't know if that was good or bad, but I did miss it.
Well, apparently Mike Tirico got a really good dig in about the president's propensity for giving himself putts. We'll leave it at that. We've got more TV golf coming this Sunday. It is Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady teeing off against Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning at the Medalist Club Golf Club in Hobe, South Florida. That will be 1 p.m. local time in Wisconsin on TNT, TBS, True TV, and Headline News. They're going to, this is like the NCAA tournament. They're going to blanket every Turner Network network there station. So what do you think? Who do you like in that match, Gary?
Well, first of all, I think any live sports right now is doing very well with TV ratings. I know the UFC has put on a couple of shows, and that's been, I've watched those. That's been weird to watch with no fans, but the ratings have been through the roof for those things. So, Yeah, it's good to see any kind of live sports right now. I know NASCAR had its first race yesterday. Kevin Harvick won, but I don't, you know, who's going to win this thing? I don't even know if anyone really cares all that much. I think it's just going to be fun to watch Tiger and Phil hopefully go at it with some good jabs and supported by their respective quarterbacks.
Well, I think, and if the whatever the little promo social media video that they did where Manning was taking jabs at Tom Brady and saying that it's a good thing this is being played in Florida, because if it was being played in Boston, the crowd would be decidedly Woods Manning. You know, that was a good dig at Brady's new home down there in Tampa. So we'll see. I'm with you. I think at this point, unless we're playing for real. And that'll be soon enough here with the Charles Schwab Challenge coming up. But I think this will be fun just to kind of see what some legends of the game, both in football and golf, how they handle the banter, and then if it does get close, you know, do they lock it in? Do they put the game face on? That's what we seem to look for in these things, and we'll see. Again, 1 p.m. Sunday on TNT, TBS, True TV, and Headline News. Gary, in the meantime, I hope the rains subside. I hope you're able to get out, cover some golf, play some golf, and as we inch our way back to normal, that would be kind of cool this week, wouldn't it?
It would be. I'm hopefully going to have a normal week here. I get to cover some golf tomorrow. Hopefully, the course is going to dry out enough so that the guys can get out there. I think there are 70 Wisconsin section professionals signed up for that tournament, and hopefully get to play later in the week at Lasonia. It would almost seem like a normal week, Rob.
It will. And we hope to start putting stuff on our site that looks like things that we put on our site before this whole thing started. But it has been one crazy period of time here at Wisconsin.golf. And we appreciate all the great feedback we're getting from our readers and our listeners here to the podcast. And again, if you see anything going on out there, feel free to reach out, let us know, and we'd be happy to write about it. So for Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, one of the oldest and most beautiful courses in Wisconsin. The course was recently restored and recreated for a unique golf experience for both members and non-members. Lac La Belle is located in Oconomowoc, a convenient distance between Milwaukee and Madison. Remember, the Sabine Private Golf Club's grand opening will be June 20th. There's a nine-hole loop open right now. You can find out more on its website at theclubatlaclabelle.com. Gary, have a great week. We'll talk again next week.
All right. Sounds good, Rob. You too.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez, this has been Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf.